and gardening information the natural way. The Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett, is ready to go with the best information and advice on organic gardening and organic living. If you want to avoid the toxic life, jump right in with us. The water's fine. Here's your leader, John Howard, the Dirt Doctor Garrett.
Talking about crepe myrtles here for just a little bit, and then we'll get back to talking about whatever you would like to discuss. I am the Dirt Doctor. The number is 1-866-444-DIRT-3478. This hour is brought to you by Dirt Doctor Stuff, my books, the free newsletter, the members area on dirtdoctor.com, where you can get a free copy of my book, The Organic Manual, if you join the membership area. The Texas Organic Research Center is our not-for-profit corporation that deals with research on this wonderful topic of natural organic techniques. And the newsletter is free. The books, we don't sell them. Other people do, but we give one away if you join the membership area of the our whole organization. I have 14 books that are available at bookstores. What few bookstores are left out there these days, garden centers that sell organics, and, of course, online, the usual kinds of things. Well, I started up a little hornet's nest on Facebook, and I'm delighted that I did, because it's gotten more conversation than if I had entered a nice comment, which people seem to think that I should have done. Instead of what I did, I was coming into the radio station, and it just dawned on me. I saw a crepe myrtle that had been dehorned, butchered, whacked off on the top, whatever you want to call it. And I took a picture of it and I put it on Facebook this morning, and put the quote from the Forrest Gump movie, by the way, all of you that have gotten over the top angry at me. Stupid is as stupid does. That's what I put. And I feel that way. But wow, are there some people out there that think that I'm calling them all stupid, and that they like topping their crepe myrtles and they think that is just fine. That's what has surprised me so much. How many people on my Facebook, and there's an unbelievable number of people jumping in and commenting on it, think that topping a crepe myrtle is a good thing to do. I'm a little taken back by that. There's another guy on the radio in this market here, and there's some other people that are kind of in that same boat as he is, and there is precious little that we agree on, almost nothing that we agree on, except for two things. That the worst fertilizer out there on the market is Scott's Bonus S with atrazine in it, and it continues to be one of the best-selling fertilizers in the country, so that shows you how much power we have. And then the second thing is that topping crepe myrtles is barbaric and should not be done. And we've both been preaching getting away from this ridiculous procedure now for a long time. But there's people on Facebook that are saying it needs to be done. It makes the plant bloom better. That's absolute, utter nonsense. When a plant is dehorned, whether it's a crepe myrtle or a pecan tree or a walnut, which I see dehorned all the time too, the first energy that that plant will use in the spring is to regrow what you have cut away. And it does not help with more and larger flowers. It does just the opposite. Somebody else put on there that it helps with the black mold, and that's not true either. It doesn't have anything to do with black mold. If anything, it makes it worse because it stresses the plant when you dehorn it and cut the top of the plant off. What, in most cases, is a way to get rid of the aphids that lead to the black mold, sooty mold, and things like that, is to get the soil off of the base of the plant. And that's something that I am even more revved up about than getting people to stop cutting the tops off of crepe myrtles. Getting the soil and the mulch and the ground covers off of the trunk flare is more important than worrying about the top. They're both bad. But the soil on the base is a whole lot worse for the health of the tree, pest control, the quality of the blooming, and the whole health of the plant. So that's the thing you need to do first. And what several people have asked about, and they're legitimately saying, look, I didn't know. I don't know that I did anything wrong. Tell me how I'm supposed to do it. Well, the way to prune a crepe myrtle properly, and this is something we agree on, by the way, is to allow the tree to fill out and be in its natural form. Crepe myrtles have a beautiful natural form, unless they were grown in a nursery too close together or in a shady place or something, and they're real long and leggy and spindly, and that just means, you know, they were grown improperly is what that means. If the plant is planted at the proper height, especially, and is able to fill out like it's supposed to, it has a beautiful, soft appearance. I used to tell people to cut the seed pods, just the tip growth off of the plants 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. And I finally got smart enough. I think one of the listeners made me smarter by calling one day and saying, Howard, don't tell people to cut the seed pods off the crepe myrtles, because all the small birds, a lot of the different species of birds, love the seed that are left in the seed pod. And I was like, man, should have had a V8. Why didn't I think of that? So now we recommend not touching the top unless there's damaged wood, unless there's crossing branches that are rubbing and causing injuries, unless there's basal sprouts, you know, coming up from the ground. That tends to be when the crepe myrtle is too deep in the ground, so you need to uncover the flare. Crepe myrtles have beautiful flares. Not only are they big and beautiful, and you can see examples and pictures in our website, dirtdoctor.com. Just go to the library under crepe myrtles. But not only does a crepe myrtle have a big, beautiful flare, which is part of the trunk. That's why it's so important for the mulch and the soil to be off of it. But then it'll turn into a big apron going out in all directions and is a beautiful part of the tree. So those of you on Facebook that are saying you got to do the topping because it helps the flowers, that's wrong. Doesn't help anything. If it's in a place where it's too tall and you need to cut it back because of that, you planted the wrong plant in the wrong place. You can plant a dwarf crepe myrtle that won't get so tall, or something else. Move the crepe myrtle to another location. One of the recommendations when a crepe myrtle has been butchered so badly to get it back to looking good is to cut all of the canes to the ground and let them resprout and isolate the one that is the largest and strongest one. Keep the others cut off at the ground and let the new stem develop into the new tree. That worked, or you can do two or three stems that same way, and that way it develops into a pretty shape once again. There is a place in Dallas, for those of you in Dallas or come to Dallas, there's a street in Dallas over in what we call the M Streets over near Lakewood, near White Rock Lake. And I'm not going to mention the exact name. Well, I'm not even sure, so I'm not going to. But it's in the M Streets. You can find it pretty easily. It's obvious that the homeowners on that street have gotten together and said, if anybody butchers their crepe myrtles, they're mine. You know, we're going to get you, because they've all been left to grow full and gorgeous. And some of them years ago were even topped and cut back, and you can still see those scars today. They're pretty. They will regain their overall graceful, natural shape, but you'll always be able to see the scars in there where they were cut back even one time. So anyway, that's enough on that. Go to Facebook and jump in there and tell me I'm crazy, or tell me that you agree with me. Either one, I do not care. Peggy in Rome, Georgia, next up. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. I love your program. Thanks so much for all this wonderful information.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
I love tea. And a month or so ago, you had a lady call in that had a combination of the ginger, lemon, and honey.
Uh-huh.
Do you peel that ginger before you put it in that jar?
I do, Peggy. I peel mine. You probably, if you've bought an organically grown hand of ginger, or if you grew it yourself, you could probably leave the skin on there and it wouldn't hurt anything at all. But I, you know, when when you're in a grocery store, just stand around and watch people. You know, they're picking up and handling things. And so even though it's organically grown, you don't know what those people were handling before they were handling your organic food.
Good thought, yeah.
So I always do clean it with a bio wash or something like that, and I generally will peel it as well. I've been meaning to grow my own, and I haven't lately, but if I grow my own, I'd probably leave the peeling on.
I see. Okay. Thanks, Amelia. I appreciate that information. I don't always know how to use all of the herbs and things, but one thing at a time, and I'm learning.
Okay. Thank you. Talk to you later. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be right back after this. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation.
Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy,
controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, 866-444-3478. I'm going to put a couple of links on the Facebook newsletter I did on crepe myrtle and just some other links about crepe myrtle on Facebook, because there's apparently people on Facebook that aren't familiar with what my recommendations are that should be done. We'll try to get those up for you on Facebook too. But if you're listening, you can go to the library of dirtdoctor.com. Just go, everything's in alphabetical order, go into the C's, crepe myrtle, and then there's several articles about crepe myrtle there for you. But I'll put links to them on Facebook also when I have time. Bill in Arlington is next up. Hey, Bill.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sitting here in my car and listening to the radio. And looking at my garden as I pull into my driveway, and I've got a bunch of fern around two trees, and they're beautiful, except they get a summer burn and a winter burn on them, and they got some black spots, brown spots in there. Is it safe to cut them off even with the ground and let them come back up?
Yeah, the only thing you want to be careful about, Bill, is look down into the crown of the fern and make sure that you don't have the fiddles starting to come up, because if you cut into them, you'll ruin the new fronds that are coming out. You see what I mean? So make sure you don't cut down too deep and cut into the new growth that's trying to happen. But cutting off damaged fronds, there's no problem. Are you? Do you have a holly fern? It sounds like you probably do, or is it wood fern?
I wouldn't know.
Are they still green now?
Yes, they're quite green.
Okay, they're probably holly fern, and you can cut the leaves off. New fresh ones will be coming on, but don't cut too far and go down into the crown, because you'll really damage the future new growth.
Well, would I be wrong in just cutting them all off slightly above the crown, even the green ones?
I'd leave the green leaves. I'd leave anything that's green, because it's continuing to collect sunlight and do its photosynthesis thing. I would just cut the really badly damaged ones off. On the other hand, if you think it would look better, it's not going to be a permanent damage or anything to them to go ahead and cut them all the way off.
All righty.
So you can
I think that would be the easiest, quickest way. I'm trying to look for the lazy way out, and I think just kind of taking them all down would be easier for me.
Well, that's fine. They'll come back out. It'll be a little bit of stress. Right at first, I think I would fertilize with a drench of a Garrett juice mixture, maybe a little alfalfa meal, something like that. It's time to do the first major fertilization of the year anyway, and I think your ferns will be fine.
I appreciate that because I've been concerned, and I thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Have a good day.
You too, and we'll talk to you later. It's Philip's turn in St. Joe. What's up, Philip?
Hello, Howard. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good.
Great. I got some problems on three of my pomegranate. The bark is coming off the branches and the trunk. About every 2 inches, it's cracking all the way around.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah,
I guess you could get a little bit of that wouldn't be a big deal, but if you're saying it's all over all the branches, that's not good. That almost sounds like the plant got some freeze damage, Philip, but that's kind of unusual for a pomegranate.
Pomegranate.
Do you have some way to take a picture and send me a photograph?
I can try. Okay.
Send me a photograph of the damage that's happening on the trunk and on the bark, and also a picture, most important picture anybody can send me of a plant is at the base, where it's coming out of the ground. I need to see what's going on there. One of the things that people sometimes, even if they've been real careful about their trees, they'll be a little cavalier about their shrubs, and they'll end up with them too deep in the ground. And if they are, that can stress them severely and lead to other injuries like you're seeing, including some, you know, freeze damage, making them less hardy for really cold weather. The other thing that could have happened is one of those cold spells that we had followed a really warm period of time. And sometimes when it drops dramatically after being warm, plants can have some stem damage that can be, you know, pretty bad.
Okay. What is address to send that?
info@ dirtdoctor.com.
Okay. One other question. Excuse me. Okay. Ever since May or June, I planted about 10 anandinas, and something is eating the leaves off of them, and they're just dying.
Wow, that's very unusual, Philip. You got some strange things going on there. Nothing bothers anandina much at all, other than maybe grasshoppers occasionally. Have you seen any grasshoppers around?
No, sir.
Okay. Go out there at night with a flashlight if it's still going on, or whenever you see it going on again, and you can often find the insect pests easier at night than you can during the day. And once you know what it is, whether it's a caterpillar or a grasshopper or a beetle or something, because we would treat all those things a little bit differently, let me know, and then I'll be able to help you better.
Great.
Okay?
I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call.
Sure. Bye.
We're going to take a little break and be back for more of your calls. Telephone number is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. The website, dirtdoctor.com. The interesting dialogue that's going on Facebook is there at Facebook, The Dirt Doctor, or Howard Garrett. You can find me either place. Check it out and let me know what you think.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Maine has been clobbered by up to 17 inches of fresh snow, and coastal areas of Massachusetts have from 10 to 15 inches to shovel this morning. Forecasters say some additional snow is possible before the storm moves out this afternoon. High winds have also caused power outages to tens of thousands on Cape Cod. Secretary of State John Kerry says climate change may be the world's most fearsome weapon of mass destruction. And he says urgent global action is needed. Speaking to students in Indonesia today, Kerry compared those who deny its existence to people who insist the earth is flat. No letdown for the U.S. men's hockey team. A day after a big win over Russia, the Americans blew out Slovenia 5-1 and win an automatic quarterfinals berth. More details at srnnews.com.
You've just stepped inside the Garden Tomb, where Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah! 3 days after they lay his body here, The stone that blocked the cave could not block the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood and walked out of that tomb. His resurrection from the dead, his journey into everlasting life, these moments have never felt so real, so close, as they are in this very place. What does it feel like to be baptized in the waters of the Jordan River? To walk to Golgotha where he died? Find out for yourself. Come to Israel and feel the wonder of the Holy Land. Ask your pastor or visit GoIsrael.com to learn more about making the journey that will transform your faith in God and his word. Experience Israel. You'll never be the same.
With SR Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Top-ranked Syracuse has capped a week of close calls by pulling out a 56-55 win over North Carolina State. Remain one of the two unbeaten teams in men's college basketball. Orange guard Trevor Cootie with 8 points says they've gotten used to a lot of close games lately.
We do find a way to win, and we find a way to make plays towards the end. You gotta put away teams early, and you gotta come out ready to play offensively and defensively. And we didn't really do that.
Third-ranked Florida claimed its 17th consecutive win by defeating number 14 Kentucky 69-59. It was fifth-ranked San Diego State 64, the Air Force 56. The Aztecs bounced back from seeing their 20-game winning streak snapped earlier in the week. A 13-1 second-half run gave seventh-ranked Kansas a 95-65 win over TCU. Eighth-ranked Duke beat Maryland 69-67. Duke forward Jabari Parker with 23 points says Maryland put up a great fight.
They really made us uncomfortable, and they really pulled through. But we just got it at the end of the game.
This is Esser in Sports. 10th-ranked Cincinnati improved to 12-1 in the American Athletic Conference by downing Houston 73-62. 11th-ranked Iowa State was a 70-64 win over Texas Tech. Number 12 St. Louis has a 17-game winning streak after they beat Virginia Commonwealth 64-62. 16th-ranked Iowa beat Penn State 82-70. It was 17th-ranked Virginia 63, Clemson 58. The Cavaliers are 12-1 of the ACC. Number 19 Texas down West Virginia 88-71. 24th-ranked Connecticut had to go to overtime to beat 20th-ranked Memphis 86-81. Huskies guard Shabazz Napier with 34 points made this surprising admission after the game.
I kind of hate playing against, you know, teams that we're just going to demolish. I really do. Like, I think I play bad against those games because I don't even want to play.
And that's why he liked playing in this game, because it was a close contest. 22nd-ranked Ohio State beat Illinois 48-39. It was North Carolina 75, 25th-ranked Pittsburgh 71. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and let's see who's next up. I believe it's Doris in Ovilla. Hello, Doris.
Hello, Howard. I've got this kefir lime, well, I guess it looks like a twig now, but it's got dehydrated leaves, I guess, moving it in and out of the garage in the cold and not so cold. Maybe I neglected to water it or something, but it's got green cambium, and it's got some new growth at the bottom. I'm wondering if there's any way to make it healthier, or do I just water it and wait for it, the new growth to come?
Well, watering it and doing a drench of the Garrett juice, and in this case, I'd put the microbes in the package, either use the BioSI product or do the Garrett Juice Pro. Even if there's a little green left in, once citrus foliage fades like that and turns a dull color, it's dead. So you can just cut all that away. My only worry about the growth that's coming from the bottom is it could be a grafted plant. And if it is, it could be coming from the rootstock. And if that's the case, it's going to be trifoliate orange or something.
But it looks like the double the leaf on the from the kefir lime. It looks has that same
look. Okay, well, that's cool.
And yeah. I think the lady told me I bought it behind the Buddhist temple, and she said it was from seed. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Okay, well, that's good. That means it's a seedling and it's not grafted. And the kefir or kaffir lime is actually fairly tough. I missed it when you were saying it a little bit different than I call that plant. It's a great that leaf is great in teas. Is that how you use it?
Yeah, or cooking.
Cooking
like
with it
curry.
Too.
I guess I could use those old leaves and boil them in tea or something.
You know, I had a big one, and I'll let something happen to it. I'm always, you know, treating my plants roughly to see what they can take, and I don't have one right now. I need to get one again. I love that plant. But anyway, just do a little drench and let it grow. It'll be fine, probably, if it's already growing and it was grown from a seed. It's a seedling, no problem. It'll grow back and be fine.
Okay. And another thing, just one quick question on, is the rain water, like from a rain barrel, from a composite roof, is that toxic to, like, vegetable gardening?
Well, that's a good question. It's probably picking up some amount of chemicals from the roof, but I think that's better than what the city sells us. It's full of chlorine and fluoride.
Okay. So, I've been using it for that, but then I started thinking, when I started reading and thinking, and I wasn't sure.
No, I think it's about as clean as you can get. You could run it through a charcoal filter again, and it'd be even better, but that's probably too much trouble. So I think you're fine.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Doris.
Uh-huh,
there's a lot worse water contamination than that, unfortunately. Paul in Waco next up. Hey, Paul.
Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to try something. I live on the outskirts of Waco. I got some really bad soil out there. But I'd like to start growing Christmas trees, blue spruce. Just different assortments in their containers, in buckets. My concern is the summer heat, if it gets too hot for the trees.
Well, blue spruce will grow in Waco. It will grow in Dallas. It would prefer to be in a much cooler place, West Texas or, you know, north of here or something like that. But you can grow it. I don't know if I'd recommend you growing it, Paul, as a commercial crop, though. The Christmas trees that would be a lot easier to grow, the top of the list would be Italian stone pine. It would do beautifully in Waco, and it's a pretty quick grower. I recommend Italian stone pine all the time, and more people have gotten into planting them. It's become fairly available at Christmas as Christmas trees, and so that'd be top of the list as far as recommendations for you as a crop to grow. There are other things you can grow. Elderica pine, I wouldn't grow it because I think that it's a desert tree, and if you overwater it very much, it gets into all kind of trouble. But it's fast, and some people grow it and like it a lot. But without question, the Italian stone pine is going to be your best shot.
Italian stone pine.
Just go to my website or any of my plant books, and we've got information about it in there. It's a little tree that has little short needles, and it looks totally different when it's young and it's grown for Christmas trees and kept trimmed and everything than when it's planted on a site and starts growing out. The leaves get longer and change color and whole different deal. Real soft, extremely well-adapted pine tree to alkaline and acid soils.
Huh. Okay, well, great. Thank you so much.
You bet. Good luck.
Bye.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good tree. And starting to see more and more people buy these little ones. They're like in a 2-gallon container or something, 18 inches, 2 feet tall for Christmas trees for tables and so forth. And then they plant them out there, and several around the Dallas-Fort Worth area now, I'm sure other cities across the country too, they've really gotten to be big trees. It gets to be a very large pine tree, so plant it where you got plenty of room. Charles in Denton is next up. Hey, Charles.
Hello. I've got some bushes that grow around the lake, and I cut them off, and they just come back. I tried to spray them with vinegar, and it just stunk, and they came back again, so...
What to do?
Yeah.
Well, woody plants are not hurt much by vinegar. It's one of the things about it that we learned early on. We could spray the bases of trees and grapevines and other woody things and kill the weeds around trees and orchards and landscaping and everything without hurting the woody plants. So when you've got a woody plant that you're trying to kill, I don't know what it is. It sounds like you're not sure either. About the only thing you can do is just chop it out of the ground, just physical removal, Charles. If you used a, a chemical that's strong enough to kill woody plants, you're going to do all kind of contamination to the soil and to the pond as well.
Okay. Also, I was wanting to know, some pecan trees, and they have cedars underneath them. I saw on somewhere that it would, if you kind of cut them off, it would kill the pecan tree. Do you know anything about that?
Whoever told you that got their words mixed up. I guess if you cut the little cedars that are growing under your pecan tree off at ground level, one, it will kill them. They won't grow back. And two, the pecan tree will sigh of relief and enjoy the fact that you've cut them out of there, just the opposite of what somebody told you.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, appreciate the call. It won't hurt your tree at all. In fact, they're competing right now, cutting them out of there, the pecan tree will like. Tony in Fort Worth next up. Hey, Tony.
How you doing, Eric?
Pretty good.
I've got a place in Granbury, Sandy Loam, and I had some hogs come in and plow up about an acre for me and get them down in good shape so I can put something beside coastal Bermuda in there. And I was watching a golf tournament yesterday, and they were talking about cuckoo grass.
Yeah.
Will that grow here?
Nope. That's one for California, and it's a big old coarse kind of grass as well. I don't know anybody that's grown it, Tony, so I don't think it would be worth the risk, the expense to try it. The only place I ever hear about it is out in California, primarily on the golf courses, like you're saying there.
Right.
Yeah.
So Buffalo, it's 100% sun. There's no shade at all out this pasture, and I just want something that'll start covering because the coastal doesn't spread. It just grows and grows.
Yeah. Are you raising livestock or you just want it to have grass?
I just want something to cover up the ground.
Buffalo grass is the way to go. Nothing. There's not even a close second.
All right. So I need to plant some seed.
Just throw out seed and you wait a few weeks and get a little bit warmer weather. Probably be your best timing. Soak them or spray them with some Garrett juice before you throw them out. Throw them out there, and you'll have buffalo going before you know it.
I like it. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, speaking of golf, our two Texas lads, I need to talk about the other Texas guys, but these two guys have caught my attention. Our Jimmy Walker is on the leaderboard again from Bernie, Texas, and our young 20-year-old Jordan Spieth is on the leaderboard again. It's really fun watching them play. It's pretty impressive, both of them doing great. We have other Texas golfers doing well, too. I need to start mentioning them all, I guess. LD in LaPointe, Utah. Is that correct, LD?
That's correct.
What's going on?
Oh, it's turning spring up here finally.
Oh, good.
I got a couple of questions. We have a phosphate mine here close by. They pump a slurry somewhere and they acidize it. They process it some way.
Uh huh.
Would just that raw powder stuff be pretty good fertilizer, you think?
You don't have a test of it yet by any chance, do you?
I don't.
You need to get one before you use it much. It could be pretty good. The clay that is washed off of rock phosphate in Florida and in some other places is marketed and sold under the name soft rock phosphate, and it's a terrific product. It has available calcium and phosphorus and a bunch of trace minerals, and it's great. It's especially good for germinating new seed and things like that. You may have a similar product, but I'd be very reluctant to use anything that you're getting as a waste material off of a manufacturing process without getting a real good test on it. And you need to find out what the NPK is and what the trace minerals are and also any heavy metals that might be in it. It'd be very important for you to get.
Okay.
And if it's clean, you might have yourself a really good product.
Okay. I have a friend that has a gravel pit close by, and they were doing some digging to find out just what the various rocks were in it, and he said they hit a bed of what they called lava sand or soft lava powder or something.
Mm-hmm.
Said that when you get it on your hands, it just really soaks the moisture and dries your skin out and stuff. Would that be the same kind of lava rock you've been talking about?
Well, it could be. Again, get an analysis of it and see what it's like. The lava sand that we recommend is a waste material that comes from the manufacturing process they do to clean up the lava gravel that they sell as decorative gravel or for barbecue pits. Mm-hmm. And it's just a waste material. It is scoria is the name of the material. So just get an analysis of it and see what it is. It may be, again, a very beneficial product for you to have. If it's volcanic in origin, it may have paramagnetism. It may hold moisture in the soil beautifully a long period of time. It may have trace minerals. Just see what it is and let me know.
So where should I get it tested?
You can send it to Texas Plant and Soil Lab down in Edinburg, Texas. Let me put you on hold. I'll talk to you off the air. I got to run. Be right back after this.
There is a new version of Garrett Juice. It is Garrett Juice Pro. Green Industries is the manufacturer. Garrett Juice Pro consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There is also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. Ask for it at our local garden center, farm and feed, or hardware store. For more information, call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com. That's 877-655-2121 or GarrettJuicePro.com.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
Howard, back with you, and just one more reminder that you can get a free copy of my book, The Organic Manual, the little red book. It is the one that is the least regionalized, almost not regionalized at all. So if you want one for free, join the Organic Club of America, which you can do right there on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com, button over there on the left. Tells you about all the benefits and one of those is to get a copy of the book. And next is Andrea, our friend from Gecko Hardware. Hello, Andrea.
Hello, Howard, and everyone out there. How's it going?
Well, very well. The weather is kind of early springish. It's going to be probably making a few people jump the gun a little bit, but that's not a big deal.
Well, and we're ready for them to jump the gun over at Gecko. We've got a special coupon that I'm going to try to convey on the air for your listeners, okay? Everyone listening to the show today can take this mental coupon over to the store, and you can save 25% on a single item under $50.
Oh, good.
Pick anything you want, whether that's a Fiskars trimmer or a box of seeds or just anything that you like. You can save 25% on any item under $50. And the actual printed coupons are available in the store, but you don't need it. Just tell them you heard about the show, or heard about us on Howard Garrett Show.
That's a great deal. I like it.
Well, it's a great deal, and we've got a group of folks over at Gecko today ready to help anyone who comes in, whether it's chickens, gardening, Victor pet food, whatever.
They do have the Victor pet food in stock now, and you can pet George while you're there.
That's right. George the Rooster is there today, and he'd love to have his picture made with you. So come over and just tell him you want to give George a hug.
Address is
10233 East Northwest Highway, and that's Ferndale at Northwest Highway, just east of White Rock Lake.
For
and
the
we're there today 10 to 5.
For the folks in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, thank you, Andrea, doing a great job.
Well, thank you, Howard. We'll see you at Gecko today.
Okay, talk to you later.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It is a great store because they are truly green. They have basically all the stuff I talk about. They've got the Haint Blue paint, and they understand that and can help you with it. And a lot of great stuff. You can see the rooster is really cool. His name is George, and he's really friendly. You really can pet him. It's amazing. Norm in Grapevine next up. Hey, Norm.
Hey, Howard. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a couple of bags of expanded shale, And just kind of curious on, can you use them on an established lawn, and how would you use them in your garden?
Good question. If you core aerated the lawn for whatever reason, if it's not doing as well as you thought, throwing in the expanded shale out and getting it down in the holes would be better than just broadcasting it on the surface. I don't see that it would hurt anything. In fact, I've talked to some people in the landscape business who have actually applied it that way. Helps hold moisture a little bit like lava sand does when you do that. It would probably be better used to mix it into the bed preparation in a vegetable garden, herb garden, or landscape area than just to broadcast it on the surface.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. That was easy. Kelly in Keene next up. Hey, Kelly.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Howard.
You bet.
I'm a new listener to your show and also new to all this organic stuff. So
welcome aboard.
I have a really bad problem right now with animal urine on the lawn. And I've tried to water it down, and I just wanted to know if you have, do I need to just rip out the grass now and try to put new soil down?
Burning spots?
Yeah, they keep going the same spots. I've even sprayed some of that garlic, cayenne pepper. It doesn't even seem to faze them.
Do you have girls?
No, they're all boys, and they're all fixed.
Wow, that's interesting. I talked about this exact problem in my talk at Coppell yesterday, and female dogs are usually a lot worse, both the chemistry of the urine and the fact that they're going, you know, straight down on the turf. The couple of things that you can do, you can get them to move and go somewhere else with maybe one or two techniques that we talked about earlier in the show. We had a listener call, and she said that her dogs absolutely hate coffee, and putting out coffee grounds in the area where they were digging, in her case, made them stay completely away. And we talked about the other technique of using the poop from the dogs in a 5-gallon bucket of water, making a manure tea, and putting it in the area where they're going and killing the grass. Will make them stay away. It absolutely works. It'll wear off, and you'll have to redo it. But in your case, just fixing the burn when it happens might be the better way to go. And the best product, and you can get it at the place we just talked about, Gecko Hardware, and other feed stores, garden centers might have it too. It's called Zeolite, Zeolite, Zeolite. Broadcast it on there. It absorbs the ammonia, which is the burning property of the urine. And will help keep it from burning, and you can even broadcast it all over the whole site. But the other thing is, try to get them to, you know, go different places. Don't let them just continue to use the same spot over and over.
Yeah, I know. Do you have a chance for one more question, sir?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
I tell you what, Kelly. Instead of rushing, let me put you on hold. And let me talk to you off the air, okay?
Okay,
and I won't be rushed up. I'm Howard Garrett. I have really enjoyed being with you today. Good stuff across the board. On Facebook, again, we got all the little controversy about my comments about people who trim crepe myrtles. Check that out and give us your 2 cents there. Our newsletter's free. Just send us your email address, info@dirtdoctor.com. You get a free copy of my book, The Organic Manual. Join the Organic Club of America. It tells you how to do it right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds.